So on the palate there, back to the peach, definitely what I'm getting there, it's like a grilled peach. It's like you took some peach slices, threw it on the grill, let them caramelize, and then ate them shits. This is and I do have a small collection of light whiskeys from various companies. Pretty much all of it originated at MGP. I would imagine that that's where this came from as well. And it does taste very much like an MGP light whiskey, which is, in my opinion, the second best thing they make. Their Rise, the 95.5, can't go wrong with the 95.5 from MGP, but their light whiskeys are incredible. And I really didn't know the joy of light whiskeys until the last couple of years. And they're the ones that I had, they're finished in Pinot or what else? Generally wine finished. This is not finished, if I'm correct. Is that right, Jerry? Yeah, this is, I mean, it's holy crap. If I never had bourbon, rye whiskey, rum, any of that ever again, because Paul and I are also rum fans. The first bottle that I ever got my hands on ever, and this was well before I was old enough to drink, I was still in high school. It was a bottle of Bacardi Silver. It didn't work well. I tried to watch the Blair Witch Project after chugging the entire bottle. It was bad. It was a bad night. If you guys remember the Blair Witch Project, it's very shaky. It's a bad idea. That was also when I figured out that when you get the spins, if you dangle a foot off and lay it flat on the ground, the spins stop. So that was a very organic genesis for me to figure that out. But this is really, really, really good. If I could never drink anything else and just drink light whiskey, this is incredible. And that grilled peach, that caramelized peach, those sugars, and there's again the ethanol, the absence of the ethanol when you drink it is astonishing. I would imagine not because it's 120 proof, but because it's light whiskey, generally distilled to a higher proof and then, brought back down sometimes not, but it's really, really well done. Hats off to you.
Yeah, I love it. The one thing that I know, so I think stands out more for me than the flavors, is just the creaminess, that mouthfeel that it gives you, just the way it coats, and it's yeah.
Yeah, that after drinking a few more sips, that's what I was going to talk about. It's the mouthfeel. It's like a peach cobbler to me.
Yeah.
It's just there's some cinnamon that kind of comes in at the end. It's bready, and it just coats your mouth. I mean, in the glass, I mean, there's not even legs. It's like just a oily wave.
Watch.
The peach, I can't get over. I mean, it's fantastic. That's a fantastic note to find in a whiskey. It's very rare that I pull peach out of a whiskey, and this is just peach forward. So this is awesome.
Yeah, that mouthfeel, it's like a creamy mouthfeel, but it's not like drinking milk or eating ice cream creamy. It's like you just threw a whole bag of Werther's original in your mouth, and it has like that oatedness in there. It's just like it's sticky, but it's not like synthetic stick. It's phenomenal. And the thing I like about, well, at least a couple samples and bottles I've had of your guys' light whiskey is a lot of the other light whiskeys are like 135, 140 plus proof. And honestly, that's a little bit too hot. The ones that I've tried, this one's 120. Well, this little sample I got's 133, but I can't remember who made it, but it was like 100 proof or 110 proof, all the same flavors without that ethanol bite towards the end. And I know one of the big things with light whiskey is getting that almost hazmat, if not hazmat, and people are were searching that out for a while. But I got a sub, it's I think it's point it's 69.9 light whiskey in the other room, and I have to put water with it every time, and it still has that those great flavors to it, just like this does. But yeah, I'd prefer like a 120, 115 proof light whiskey versus those 130, 140s, because sometimes it's too.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have put out quite a few that are up in those, mid 140 ranges. But yeah, to me, mid 120s is plenty.
Yeah,
but it's kind of funny because a lot of people, don't know about light whiskey too, because for the longest time, it wasn't really created to be a standalone product. It was meant to be a blending component. And it was almost like, bad word. You know, blending, first of all, used to be a bad thing. And then, oh, you're using light whiskey. How dare you use light whiskey? But yeah, no, it's, you know, it hasn't been until the past couple of years that some of us that are using it, and you know, we from day one were very open about, like, we use this and this is why we use it. You know, it brings that maturity to the blend. It brings that great mouthfeel. It gives it that long finish. You know, it should really be talked about and you know, kind of glorified for the great whiskey that it is.
Yeah, that's it. I think, yeah, it's a lot of people overlook light whiskeys, and they really need to, they need to educate themselves, give it a shot. There's some really cool things being done with light whiskeys. Light whiskey in and of itself, by itself, without the finishes and all that, that's that butteriness, that mouthfeel, I would attribute that to light whiskey, because I've never had a light whiskey that didn't coat your mouth like that. And part of that is because it's, you know, when you distill it to a higher proof and remove more of the water, you're going to be left with those oils that are going to be present in those light whiskeys. So it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. So
going back to that whole whiskey blend sort of deal, you guys and there's a few others out there, they've changed the game for blended whiskeys. Most people would see it and think 80 proof or 80% neutral grain spirits to 10% whatever whiskey and then 10% whatever random stuff. You guys and a few others, well, there's a couple others out there, but a few others that come to mind, have changed the game, and whether they're using these light whiskey or not, just make some phenomenal stuff, sourcing some phenomenal whiskeys from great distilleries around the U.S. And it's honestly some of my favorite stuff.
I appreciate that. So, thank you.
So you and the other blenders out there, you said Nancy Fraley earlier in the show. I've had the joy of talking to her a few times. She's a wonderful person. She knows what she's doing. She is honestly insane with what she can do. So to you blenders out there, cheers and hats off to you guys, because what you guys do with this is crazy.
So Matt, we've been talking about your rye and the rum that Phenomenal Spirits has and stuff, but when you walk into a bar, what are you drinking? What is your go-to spirit? Are you drinking rye or rum, or is you a cocktail guy? You like different spirits? What are you drinking just in your personal time?
Man, so I don't go out to bars. I never have the opportunity to really go out to them. Usually it's going to hang out at a buddy's house or somebody coming on by mine, you know, getting with the local whiskey groups. And it's all the great things that everybody brings to try. You know, I absolutely love, I'm not a big cocktail person. You know, every once in a while I'll have an old fashioned, but I love getting to try all the different things that you're not going to go out to a bar and see, unless you go to somewhere like Jack Rose up in DC that has, you know, 3,000 different whiskeys on the shelf. But to me, it's all about that camaraderie, meeting with other people. You know, when they bring out these bottles that were bottled in, you know, the late 60s or the 70s, some of those old turkeys, that, you know, people are willing to bring almost some of these priceless bottles and share with each other. That's kind of my favorite experience with having whiskey. And I do also like some of the Japanese whiskeys. I think there's something, you know, especially the ones that do that plum wine finish to them. There's something phenomenal about that.
Something phenomenal about that. Are you guys thinking about maybe using some of that in those phenomenal spirits that you guys are making?
I've been looking for those for 6 years to get some of those barrels. They're hard to get your hands on.
That's one category of whiskey I really haven't got down in the rabbit hole with, is that Japanese whiskey. I've had a couple samples and a couple bottles, and some good stuff. I just haven't made that trek down there yet.
I got a buddy of mine has a bar in Osaka, so he'll bring some things back for me to try, which is always nice.
It's not really an easy rabbit hole to get into, because at least around me, it's not terribly available. It's not, you know, there's a couple brands that are available, but for the most part, we don't have a huge selection of Japanese whiskey. So I can try a couple, but why? What if I end up liking them and I want to try them all and now I can't? You know, am I going to buy a plane ticket to Japan?
Yep.
Maybe, I've done crazier things, but that's real expensive. So, you know,
or, you know, DC, you know, some of the, a lot of the Japanese whiskeys I've had have been up at Jack Rhodes.
Okay. Now I do, Jerry and I do need to plan to get up and see Paul anyway. So that's definitely a possibility. And I mean, going to Jack Rhodes it's mandatory. It's not a maybe, it's mandatory. I have to set foot in there, even if all that I can afford to buy from them is water, you know, because I know shit's expensive in there. It has to be. They've got probably the most collection in the world.
Yeah, but you know what? Where else can you go try whatever you want?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can try pre-prohibition whiskeys in that place, you know.
Yeah.
Things that don't exist anymore, and that's going to cost you a lot of. I'm sure they've got, you know, comparatively, it's probably priced for what it should be. And you know, yeah. If you order a Buffalo Trace or a Rye 3 or whatever, you're probably going to get the right, you know, a price that you're going to expect to see at a different bar. But if you go getting into those things that only they have,
yeah,
you're going to pay through the nose. And I would expect that to be the case, but.
It's not really that bad. I mean, there's a lot of good flights and stuff that they offer. I mean, they have so much, you know, they charge what it's worth. We could spend a whole weekend there. We could go there for lunch
and I'm okay
there and go back the next day.
And they've got
a tent outside the door and just sleep on the sidewalk. I'm okay with looking homeless to stay there and keep trying things.
They have a outside rooftop place bar as well with a retractable roof that they can open up so you can smoke cigars up there.
Okay.
Yep. And then we could go there and then have you been to Dry 85 in Annapolis? They got
I have not.
That's like a mini Jack Rose. So okay. we could bounce back and forth between those two and just be happy. We don't even have to visit a distillery.
Yeah, well,
you guys let me know. I can always get a reason to get up to DC.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go. When we make that happen, we'll definitely hit you up. I know that we have to. I can't leave Maryland without going to Sagamore. I have to go, but I definitely, if I'm going to be in the area, I have to go to Jack Rose. And now that Paul has made me aware of this other one, I have to go there as well. I can put a mattress in the back of my car. None of you are welcome on my mattress. I will stay there on my own, but I will sleep in the parking lot if I have to. That sounds like a good time.
And another good spot up there, Cinder Barbecue. We've done barrel picks with them. They've got some great barrel picks and some amazing barbecue. We did a barrel release party up there with them, and he made one of my favorite things, burnt ends. So he made it for the special that night, and it was amazing.
I like barbecue.
Yeah, I could eat myself to sleep on some burnt ends.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like something that you've experimented with, Paul. The look on your face tells me you may have fallen asleep with barbecue sauce somewhere on your person at least once. And I've also done that. So, you know, we're in good company.
If you haven't, it's a bucket list thing you got to do.
Sounds great. Sorry, Jerry, go ahead.
I was just like, going back to your guys' whiskey, any thoughts on releasing unfinished Rye 3?
Yeah, so actually our very first barrel picks were done that way. So we did kind of the first program we developed was you came and you picked out your own barrel of 95.5 MGP, and then I blended the other two components into it. So those were our first single barrels. But yeah, I think there might be a time where it comes that, you know, there's a product out there that's an unfinished product that's available, a rye whiskey. Something that we'll be working on.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, like, you got Angel's Envy that does the port finish. And we had a distributor around here doing the picks or whatever. And he would always bring a little sample of the unfinished whiskey. And people that said they said it's better than the actual finished port finish stuff. So my thought was always like, it's kind of cool to like all these companies that do strictly like them, you guys that always all their stuff has been finished so far. Kind of cool to see the beginning product from deal.
Okay. So yeah, there are a handful. Somebody just asked All View Liquors up in Maryland, Ellicott City, Maryland. He did two barrels, two of the unfinished rye barrels. And he just came back a couple months ago asking if he wanted to do it again. That he said that was one of his favorite barrel picks he did with us. So we'll have to see. You know, I'm never going to say never to anything. You never know what's going to come up and you know what's going to be available and what we can do.
Well, hopefully you do that with him again, because they're about 30 minutes from my house, so I can get us all some bottles of that.
Definitely.
I'm just thinking a little side by side with the, if Madeira finished and then the same thing that's unfinished, just to kind of see the difference, because like I said earlier, this Madeira finish is fantastic.
Yeah. It was delicious. Very delicious. Thank you, Jerry. Absolutely delicious.
So, yeah, we kind of talked about that. I had a question we couldn't talk about. Your distribution, the different, do you have like other than your website, what other online partners do you guys deal with?
So there's a couple different ones. I'm blanking on names right now on it. This is Kartik and Sam's sweet spot with this.
I know Sealbox does it because I got an email.
Yeah.
A couple, 2 weeks ago about the Rye 3 dropping in there, and I think every single bottle of Rye 3 and Ronazalco got put in the cart just to see how poor I would be after ordering everything.
Yeah, they are. So yeah, when you order it off our website, that's who it's going to be coming from.
Yeah. So what's what do you have?
That ball.
I was just going to say, so what's next for you guys? You have anything else you can talk about? I mean, the Naranja, you know, is one that we're going to be looking for, but I mean, anything else that you can give some scoop? You got anything that's coming up next that nobody else knows?
Yeah, no. So that's the next news that gets released, which we haven't done yet because it's still in the finishing process. And that's going to be our next cigar series. So I said, we got the one that's out right now, that's in the Naranja, the Madeira rum cask, and then the toasted barrel. So, but we've got a completely different set of finishing casks. I'll give you the scoop that the focus is that this one is going to be on is oak, kind of like an oak series. So it's going to be, you know, different oak barrels from different places. So we'll say different countries.
So are these these cigar blends each year, are they going to be a different blend, or is that the idea?
Yep. So we call all ours cigar series purposely because it is going to change. You know, this is, you know, we did it this time. You know, we did two batches of it. This year we're going to come out with something different. I'm already starting to. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say that was one thing I thought of earlier and I didn't write it down until you just said it. Of a basically kind of like an oak series, whether it's Rye 3 finished in French oak. Well, I guess American oak would just be like an unfinished style product. Then you got Mizunura and what's Amberana. Do you have thoughts about coming out with something like that after this?
Yep. So this, give it a couple months and you'll see the release on this one. But this one is going to be another triple cask finish product. So it's going to be, it said, oak barrels from different countries.
These guys.
So as we said, and yes, and it is. So we are doing series because we do want to change it up. You know, the same principle goes into developing each one, which is pairing with cigars. So as we're coming with the different blends, we are trying different cigars with them, making sure that, you know, they're working well together. You know, we don't want the whiskey to overpower your cigar. You don't want the cigar to overpower the whiskey. You want them to kind of work together and bring out different flavors that you weren't getting with each of them on their own. So that's kind of the basis of us and how we're going about creating these different blends.
If you need a second opinion on how well they pair together, you know, three guys, we're all willing.
I hear you. Come make a trip to Virginia Beach.
Okay.
We got a fire pit. We'll set the fire pit up and we'll have cigars and try some whiskey.
That sounds good.
With the cigar series that you guys have out now, what type of cigar do you think pairs best with it?
So the ones that I'm trying to go back to when we created it, I believe we had the Arturo Fuente. I don't know which one. But I know that was one. I want to say there was Romeo Giulietta. And I think there was an H. Upman as well. there was a fourth one. And I don't remember what the fourth one was, but we tried to, you know, try different ones, some that were, you know, a little bit more medium body, some that were heavier smoke, you know, to make sure that no matter what you're trying, you know, that it's going to work well with it.
Well, while we're on the subject, do you have a favorite cigar or favorite brand?
We were talking, me and Adam were talking about this earlier. It's usually what my buddies bring over for me to try. So I've got some guys that, you know, their cigar collection would take up a garage. You know, they've got massive walk-in humidors at their houses, and, you know, I kind of rely on them for their expertise in that. Clark's really phenomenal with picking out cigars too. So he'll come by and he'll pick up some nice sticks for us to try.
Yeah. Usually when I go to the cigar shop, I'll grab one or two that I know I like, and then one, two, three, depending on how much I feel like spending. Just some random, just grab, see what it is, see how it goes. And sometimes it works out great. Sometimes it's a waste of $15, but it's always just like whiskey. It's always fun trying some different things.
Yeah, I had one of my buddies probably won the True Estate, the tobacco. I guess it's kind of a flavor one, but that was like, just for like a midday cigar, that thing was solid. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't too overpowering, and it was just kind of a great, you know, I had a stressful week, and then one day I just went out at lunchtime, like, I'm just going to have a cigar. Yep. There you go.
Hooked that one up a couple months ago. Haven't gotten into it yet, but actually almost grabbed it for this one, this show, but went with
I think they have another one too. They have, you know, a really heavy one. And the way that my buddy described, they said one's kind of your coffee, the other one's your cream and your sugar that goes along with it. You know, they pair really well together, one after the other.
So you mentioned Drew Estates, and I don't know if you're familiar, but if you're not, I very much would like to suggest a Liga Privada number 9. This is my favorite cigar, and they are incredible. A box of 20 of these bad boys, about $320. And that's why I buy them individually, because, you know, I'm not a rich man. So, yeah, Jerry.
You got to find yourself one of them.
You got to find me one of those, because I don't have those around here. Where did you get that? Did you get that in Florida or in Chicago?
Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't manage
to. UF-13s.
Yeah, I didn't.
Fantastic.
Make that happen when I was up there. But these are incredible. Drew Estates also makes, they're more budget friendly, called Factory Smokes. And you can get those, you can get a bundle of those for like $40 or something like that. But they're pretty darn good. So you mentioned Nicaragua with the rum. And as I've come to find out through this little experiment that we started about a year ago, not quite, that I'm a sucker for products from Nicaragua. I love a Nicaraguan cigar. A very big fan of Nicaraguan rum. And Drew Estates is no exception to that. But this bad boy, Liga Privada number 9, they're pretty hard to find. And the reason is because they use a Connecticut broadleaf for the wrapper, but they only use like the top like 6 or 7 leaves off the plant. The rest of the plant is garbage to them. So fewer are being produced. But this was originally meant to be stick that was produced specifically for the employees, and they found the popularity was so great that they went ahead and started to release it wide, and they're great. I wouldn't say they're mass produced, because they're not, but they're, you know, produced in more availability anyway. So highly recommend that cigar. It's one, a little more full bodied than
I'll have to look that up.
I'm sorry.
I'll have to go look that one up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one more question. We probably should have asked it, or I should have mentioned it earlier when we were drinking Rana's Alco. You guys don't dose or add any extra stuff to that rum, do you?
So we do the Azalco 10 itself. There is a little bit of tiny bit of toasted brown sugar in that one. That's kind of, you know, our entry level.
So I couldn't taste too much. Like, it was sweet, but it, like some of these entry level cheap rums that just taste like your face in a jar of sugar. This one didn't have that. So,
yeah. So, but the rest of them are, they're all cast strength. There's no additives, no sugar, nothing to it at all.
I know I'm not one to really care if it tastes good. but I know there's people out there that even if there's a hint of added sugar or whatever, they stick their nose up to, but tastes good. I don't care. But there's been some rums
for everything.
There's been some rums that's just straight sugar. And it's just like, nope, like I don't need a sugar rush or anything like that. But this one's good. I saved half a sample that I'll probably get into a little bit later.
Yeah, you'll have to get some of the 15. I said 15 with a cigar is really good. Also pairs really well with chocolate. Great dessert pairing.
What about finishes or the Rana Zalco? Have you guys ever, I haven't seen any or heard of any. Have you put in Rana Zalco rum into any other barrels to let them finish?
No, we haven't. We brought it up a couple times, but we haven't executed on that one. We've got so many different things going on. Yeah, we just haven't had the time or space to mess with that. You know, with the Zalcos, we've been focusing more on getting some of the older stuff. And we're always, you know, trying to source some older juice to bring some other things to the market.
So with that, you talked about what's upcoming for Rye 3, but is there anything upcoming for the Zalco line?
Nothing in the immediate works. There's a couple things in the discussion. One thing that I want to start working on is kind of like a rum that's focused for bartenders. You know, something that could be a great inexpensive rum that's, you know, easy to put behind a bar. So I think that's something I want to start working on, hopefully later part of this year.
Never go wrong with a nice cocktail, cheap rum.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's hard getting things on the back bars and being used in the rums. You got to have something that's, you know, a much more approachable price point, you know, for them to get to use it in there. So that's kind of going to be the next push to work on.
Now that would just be an aged rum, or is that going to be a younger rum or a spiced rum, or what are you thinking?
Not sure. You know, I work with our importer to see what rum we have available to work with. You know, it could be something that's a clear rum. It could be a, you know, a shorter aged, you know, something that's not obviously not a 10-year. It might be a shorter aged rum. Could be a spiced rum. You know, not really sure yet. We're, you know, hoping to start kind of working on that one in the fall. But whatever we do, we'll try a couple different things. And, you know, our whole thing is if it's not phenomenal, it's not going to leave our warehouse.
Yeah, no. Well, everything so far has been pretty phenomenal. So any of the stuff that you don't think is phenomenal, I'll send you my address.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what do you do with the non-phenomenal things? I mean,
I'll let you know when we find it.
Okay.
Now, you know, that's the one thing that's great with blending, that even if you have, you know, fortunately with the finished stuff that we've done, we haven't had anything that hasn't worked out. Everything we've been able to use. But you know, that's kind of the fun and art in blending, is that you're always going to find a use for a whiskey that, you know, somebody's not going to pick up on a single barrel. You know, there's always a way to blend it and work it into something else.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun job. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I don't imagine you wake up in the morning and go, shit, I got to go to work. I get to go to work today. Let me go blend some things together and see how it works out. Like, that's pretty awesome.
That's when on those days, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, of course, when any job, there's, you know, the not so fun paperwork and things you got to get stuck in. So unfortunately, too often of the time, but, you know, blending days, whenever, you know, again, throw barrels around and try different things, it's always a great day to go in. You know, it's one of those things you get there and you're like, man, this is my job. This is what we get to do. And that's a fun moment.
How often do you have those days, do you think?
I mean, so we do at least three big blends a year, you know, for a couple of weeks, putting blends together, refilling casks. You know, sometimes I'll do some smaller blends throughout the year. You know, if we're working on a cigar series, I'll get kind of developed a different part of the year. So yeah, it's not an everyday type thing or an every week type thing, but we are constantly going through and tasting and trying things that are within the barrels. So they're constantly being touched and looked at.
What's your approval process, for lack of a better term? Like, it, I mean, obviously you are at the forefront, but do you have like a panel of everyone else involved with the company that has, like, because I know, yeah, like I've been to different distilleries and seen the rooms where they have the big table full of different bottles, and like the certain employees come in and they take their notes and do that kind of thing. Do you guys kind of do something like that?
Oh yeah. I'll send samples out to Kartik. You know, we'll go through things. I'll have, you know, people that I know have really good palates that I have nearby. I'll have them, you know, kind of try things and get their opinion on stuff.
So if you have an idea, you know, as the master blender of this company, do you just, I'm going to go do this and there it happens? Or, you know, do you not like, I'm not necessarily asking whether or not you have to run it up the chain, but like, let's say you wake up on a Monday and you're like, oh shit, I just had this, you know, this light bulb moment, and you just go right on in there on that same Monday and start putting it all together, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, if there's something that I can, if there's something that's plausible, an idea that I come up with that's plausible, I know that I've got the availability to get the barrels or something like that, then yeah, I can start messing around, start blending with it, and trying stuff out.
That's but, you know, a baller thing I've heard today. I'll tell you that right.
it's, you know, but you got to look at, one of the things that people don't really think about is every single time you come up with a new product, there's so much that goes into it. It's not just creating the product or having the access to the barrels. It's the packaging, the design.
Sure.
How much of it can you actually do? How feasible of a project is it? So a lot of times we've had some great ideas that, you know, unfortunately just we weren't able to work out the logistics of it. So
some of those projects, do you ever smaller projects for private parties, or do you try to focus on bigger picture, wider release type situations for the most part?
But, you know, it would be nice to do all those one-offs for individual peoples, you know, you really got to look from a wider aspect of it. Once again, just having a label created to do it, you know, you're spending thousands of dollars on design and having labels set up and stuff like that. If you're not going to run a bunch of product of, you know, through it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah, so sometimes it's a great idea, but, you know, it's just not scalable. You know, so it kind of gets shelved until you can, you know, either come up with a way to make it scalable or something else kind of approaches you.
Right.
Talking about the whole label and everything, your guys' label with like the textured label and everything on it, with like that paper texture, it's awesome. Like
the eggshell paper, yeah.
Yeah, you could feel the raised letters. They got three barrels on there. You could feel them. It just like, it's not like just a flat label like almost every other bottle out there. And then they got a nice little Phenomenal Spirits stamped on the top of the cork. Oh, the not the cork.
The T-top. Let me tell you how difficult that is too. That all those engraved, that was a task to get done. Now, you know, of course the product has to taste great, but you know, you have to have great packaging too. You know, you want to make sure, you know, when people are spending the money on this, you know, it's a luxury product. You know, so we want it to feel, look, you know, have all those aspects of it. So, you know, we do spend a lot of time going through, doing our packaging, working on those things, and really thinking through all those aspects of it prior to executing it.
Yeah, no, for just being a wine bottle, you know, with the Rye 3, I mean, it definitely pops on the shelf. I'm always excited when I go into a store and see it because, I don't think you have distribution in Maryland. I think it's just store picks that I've been able to find.
Yeah, it's a very, very small, limited distribution there.
Yeah, but they definitely pop just even being in the traditional wine bottle. But the, like I said, the Rana's Azalco bottle is awesome. I just really love the shape. It's pretty unique. I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head that's using that bottle style.
One distillery. A small distillery, and I don't even know what state it's in, that I think uses that same bottle. But other than that, nobody else, I believe, in the U.S. uses it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of just, it's unique and it jumps. And yeah, I mean, the marketing is great for both brands. And, you know, we're just really looking forward to seeing what you guys do in the future, because everything that we've had and tried and sampled and bought has been absolutely phenomenal. There's certain brands that I'm like, that was good. That wasn't so good. But I can't think of anything that I've had from you guys that hasn't been good. I know I was at New Orleans not this past year, not 2 months ago or whatever it was, but last year, and you guys pretty much sold the show there. And everything you guys have been doing is it's great, and we're really looking forward to it.
We had the Toasted Took Gold and won there, and then we had Cigar Series this past year. We were able to enter and got gold there this year as well.
Yeah, and you, I know last year when I was there, you were kind of the talk of the show. It was you and Silverback, I think, that were the talk of the show, and none of the big brands were really, you know, no quote unquote big brands were really at the forefront. You guys pretty much won everything, so that just is a testament to, you know, good quality work you guys are doing. Really look forward to what you're going to do in the future.
And that's a great thing about that show too. I mean, that's, you know, all the big boys get to compete there. So, you know, you do well at New Orleans, you're usually doing something right.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a fun show. And yeah, I remember, yeah, you guys won most of it. So it was,
yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there for that, but I did Baton Rouge in the fall. And we still had people coming up to us talking about, you know, trying to get the Toasted, you know, still talking about the New Orleans Festival.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun show.
Very cool.
Toasted is one I got to, that Toasted in the Naranja is one I got to look for, along with the Ramen Zalco. Because some of those BDN finishes by other brands are some of my favorites. I know Paul is a big fan of those, so.
Yeah, the Penelope VDN is the Penelope VDN is like one of my favorites. So I'm really looking forward to your Naranja bottle. Yeah. I'm definitely going to seek that out.
I know Sealbox had, well, at least had it the other day, and like I said, it's been sitting in my cart, debating whether I want to just grab that or some other stuff. So hopefully that's still on there. If it is, I might end up grabbing that here within the next few days. But unfortunately, with their shipping, sometimes it'll be here in 3 days, sometimes it takes a week and a half, so I didn't want to order it and then it not show up before this whole show and then be disappointed. But yeah, that's been sitting in my cart since I got that email that it's there. Yeah, so probably right after the show I might go on there and grab it.
See how it is, Jerry. Jesus with it.
Aaron's caring.
Hey, I'll send you some.
I'm sure he will.
You're typically not a VDN fan, so.
Well, that's based on one experience, as far as you know. I didn't enjoy the VDN that you had that you let me try when we were at happy hour. But, I mean, I'm always willing to stick my nose right back in and see if it gets chopped off again.
That was the Penelope.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy that very much, but that was, yeah, whatever. So, but guys, do we have any more questions for Matt while we've got him?
No, I think Matt, if you want to tell us where, you know, we can find you, websites and socials and things like that, people can find you.
Find us at Ride 3 Whiskey and at Azalco Rum, and same with our website, phenomenalspirits.com. It will lead you to Azalco Rum and to RyeWhiskey.com as well.
Be sure to check them out there. You know, as always, you can find us at bourbonbeardsandbelvedeers.com. You can find us on Instagram at bourbonbeardsandbelvedeers and on TikTok at BURBNBeardsBelvedeers, because TikTok is famously stupid and won't let us have the handle that we want. So, Matt, you know, on behalf of Jerry and Paul, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been great hearing from you. I appreciate your time, as do they, I'm sure. You know, look forward to trying to get you guys on again in the future at some point to talk about future endeavors. You know, we'll be looking for your products. Hopefully our listeners will as well, because they are incredible.
I appreciate you guys. Yeah, we really appreciate the support from you all, from everybody in the community. You know, we make this for you guys. So hearing that people are enjoying it and they want more and, you know, want to try different things, you know, it keeps us going. So really appreciate your all support on this.
Absolutely. You know, we'll definitely be having it on the show to review at later dates. And so folks should look out for that, because I have no doubt that that's going to be the case. So always, you know, we try to support the smaller folks. If we can, if we feel like they're doing something that's worth our time and other people's time. And we clearly feel that way about what you guys are doing. You guys are doing really good. Really good job. And you know, keep up the good work, please, because we really enjoy it. So as always, support your veterans, support your children, you know, look out for veterans charities out there that you can make a donation to. There are plenty, you know, they supported us, but given their time, now it's time for us to support them, give back. And then, you know, your children always got to look out for the little guys, make sure that they're safe and they're healthy, especially those that don't have somebody to do it for them. So, you know, make sure to look out for that. Until next week. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thank you, Matt.
Bourbon Beards and Belvederes is produced by Adam Bolden, Paul Rousseau, and Jerry Ullman. Editing by Adam Bolden. Music by Ryan Johnson. You can find the links to all our social media accounts on our website at bourbonbeardsandbelvederes.com. As always, enjoy your bourbon and cigars responsibly. Cheers!